Amen. This morning, as we worship together, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the conversations around our community children heading back to school in August and September, be it in person or remote learning. I mean, traditionally, this has been the most wonderful time of the year when kids head back to school. Yet today, this unique and friendly but not so friendly family decision needs to be made, and it's based on so many variables. I know for me, and I wanted to share this with you, I know for me and my house, we too are praying and discerning and deciding what's next. But I do have to say my discernment may have kicked up a notch after my daughter said to me yesterday, "So is tomorrow's message going to put me to sleep or keep me awake?" I really began to pray in that moment about her going back to school. But in all of the news and social media outlets, we're reminded that as a community of faith, we're called to support these families and to continue to keep them and the administration and the faculty and the maintenance and the janitorial staff in our prayers. We're reminded to keep those who are parenting alone and who need additional support in our prayers. Because quite frankly, we never know how God will intervene. So let me ask you today, have you ever noticed that when God works, God seldom works the way that we expect? How many times do we expect God to act one way, only to see God act in another? You know, while God always does what God promises, seldom does God do it in the way we expect it to be done. Last week was our food drop-off for Manna, as well as our second food distribution to the community. You may have seen the pictures in the e-news or on social media. Cars lined up, waiting for several hours for a couple of bags of groceries, which equated to about several weeks of food. I know for some of us, we may be a little impatient when we have to stand in line at the grocery store, but I do have to admit I have never waited several hours to have a basic need fulfilled. I participated in food mission for a very, very long time, and I have to admit, it doesn't get any easier. I want to share with you this morning, no one knew I was a pastor. I didn't tell them because it didn't seem important in the moment, but I passed each of the cars. And I saw myself among those sitting and waiting. I saw the single divorced parents. I saw a diverse version of my neighbors whom I've shared meals with throughout my life. I saw a version of my father sitting alone, waiting as I walked the rows. Through the registration process, after a good morning and how are you, I began to hear the stories. Cancer. Divorced. Widowed. Lost jobs. I'm waiting for my unemployment check. I prayed with those who desired prayer, and yes, I probably held up the line a little bit as I spent time with those who needed extra time. I heard many a thank you, as well as I am sorry. The shame of receiving what in their mind is a handout, but in my mind is a gift. You know, in these moments, and moments very similar to what I just shared, I felt so very small. So very small in the midst of this enormous need. And what we were doing seemed so insignificant. Yet, in light of all of the spoken and unspoken stories, there was so much hope. So much grace. And so I ask again, have you ever noticed that when God works, God seldom works the way that we expect? Today we press on with Jesus and his disciples. Remember the last time we were on the shore as Jesus taught from a boat the parable of the sower who scattered seeds across his field. We were then invited into a very private conversation where the disciples ask in Matthew 13:10, why do you speak to them in parables? As we eavesdrop on Jesus' answer and his explanation to the disciples in verse 11 of chapter 13, he replies, because they haven't received the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but you have. We are then reminded by Pastor Ashley through Psalm 139 that just as disciples are intimately known by God, so are we. Our scripture passage today encompasses a discourse of six parables, and they are inviting us to witness the powerful effects of the kingdom. The scriptures begin with the simplicity of these words. The kingdom of heaven is like. See, parables or stories usher us to reflect upon our own familiar lives. Jesus privately tells his disciples stories of an ordinary, down-to-earth, not-so-perfect people. A farmer who takes a tiny seed, a weed really, that had very little value in ancient Palestine and plants it in his field. A woman, a baker, maybe a housewife who takes way too much leaven or yeast, which in the Jewish tradition signifies something evil. And this woman takes this yeast and hid it away until it worked its way through the flour. Jesus tells the disciples a rather sketchy parable of a person who finds a treasure in someone else's field, but instead of letting the owner know, he celebrates and buys the field for himself. We, like the disciples, hear the story of a merchant or a business person who is searching for pearls of a particular value and finds the one pearl more precious than all the rest. Jesus continues, which is so relevant because of the waterways in which surround us here in Pensacola. He continues to share the parable of the fisherman casting a net, gathering all kinds of fish, and only maintaining the good. Jesus then takes all that is old and all that is familiar and all that is ordinary and asks the disciples, do you understand what I am saying? And they respond with a resounding yes. See, Jesus then says in Sheila speak, now it's your turn to take all of what you know, all of what is familiar, all of what you witness every day, and share these as new treasures of the kingdom. I may have said this before, and it is okay that Jesus uses parables to undermine the preconceived notions of how God uses the ordinary, the small, the dismissed, the marginalized, the disadvantaged, the sketchy, and the evil to usher in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but this is hardly what I think about when I picture God's realm, regular people doing everyday things, reminding us what the kingdom of heaven is like. In my own heart, since we do know that Jesus wins, since we do know Jesus is the resurrection and the life, since we do know Christ is the hope and the foundation we stand on, since we do know that our love and relationship to God challenges us every single day. So our challenge this morning is to move from the words, because we have a relationship with Christ already, but to move from the words, the kingdom of heaven is like, to the kingdom of heaven reminds me of. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of. See, beloved, these parables are a sign of the mystery and grace of God, a sign of the love of God, a sign of the omnipresence of God, a sign that we are known by God and that we are God's kingdom right here on earth. There's nothing to wait for. Nothing. Hear me closely, beautiful, gorgeous people of God. An intellectualized faith is reading the parables. An incarnational faith is living them out, seeing them every single day, pointing and proclaiming, the kingdom of heaven reminds me of this. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of that. The kingdom of heaven is happening right here, right now. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to believe in the incarnation, this mystery where Jesus Christ is both human and divine. Yet in these parables, Jesus puts the focus not on himself, but on the world around him. And he shows us through these powerful stories that the kingdom of God is invasive. The kingdom of God is unpredictable. The kingdom of God reminds us today how so very much Christ is in our lives. We celebrate today these stories that empower our ordinary, hope-filled care for one person at a time. Our ability to share the gospel with one person at a time. We celebrate today how we seek justice over time and never stop being the kingdom of heaven at any time. It is through our hands and our voices and our feet and our pockets that we, through Jesus Christ, we, through the beloved grace of God, encompass as our essential being, that we are called to pass along kingdom of heaven to all whom we meet. Christ is in our lives, beloved, and we celebrate these stories today. This is the powerful effect of the kingdom of heaven. We, as ordinary people, do extraordinary things out of our love for God. I didn't see myself up here really long today. My heart is heavy from the stories that are coming through text messages. Those who have COVID, pray for me. My mother just died. I can't find my friend. All of these messages that are coming through. And God is calling us, no matter what we find ourselves in the midst of, to be the kingdom of heaven. So I want to challenge you to pick a day from last week or this upcoming week and make a list of how you have witnessed the kingdom of heaven. How have you been a part of the kingdom of heaven? How do you desire to be a part of the kingdom of heaven even more? And to begin to move from the kingdom of heaven is like to the kingdom of heaven reminds me of Christ is with us. So I wanted to start just for a little bit. And these parables deserve a greater individual study. But overall, looking at the people that God has brought before us that were ordinary, that searched, that looked, that proclaimed the good news enough so that they would sell whatever they had in order to be a part of what is going on. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of witnessing my daughter get up at 6:30 a.m. to serve at the food distribution and joining the other youth in the process. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of the patience displayed for those who waited for hours for groceries. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of those who opened their doors, turned off their cars to save gas and talk to each other. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of those who share their stories with tears in their eyes. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of the volunteers who faithfully give of their time over and over again. Those who pray for all that is happening here at our church and within our community. Those who generously give out of what they have so the mission of Cokesbury will continue to go forth. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of a thank you for flying the flags half-staff for Congressman John Lewis. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of the countless ways in which you are silently serving, expecting nothing in return. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of those who come to give their talent and their gift of worship so that we serve and worship God together. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of the cards of hope and love that we continue to receive, like so many of you are receiving from one another. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of how you are loving your neighbor, whether it's a farmer, a woman baking, someone sketchy, a business person, a fisherman, or someone who is just downright mean. The kingdom of heaven reminds me that we are together. We are the foundation of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who carry the good news to the streets through text messages, through email, through phone calls, through cards. The kingdom of heaven reminds me that it is right here, right now. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of the church who preaches, the church who teaches, the church who outwardly serves and loves because of the gospel, until all the earth hears and responds. The kingdom of heaven is like holy water, because God, our God, the one whom we serve out of obedience and love, is the water for our thirsty souls. The kingdom of heaven waits for no one. It is invasive and unpredictable. The kingdom of heaven reminds me of you.